Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck, Thomas off the wall, shoots, and it's in! They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saved them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Martin is still in Wisconsin. Is he fishing? What do we know about his latest outdoor activities?
I believe they're en route back today. Martin is scheduled to return.
Any more pictures posted?
Probably fly
fishing.
Fishing by himself at 5 a.m. getting ready for a breakfast to cook.
I can picture Martin on some long hikes, too, you know, with some really rugged boots that he just bought. Those thick socks and shorts, cargo pants, you know.
Got the binoculars around his neck, you know, really getting after it, grinding.
Actually, Carson's probably playing a video game back at the tent. Dad, you're on your own, buddy. All right, a good program lined up today. Jeff Gordon from the Post-Dispatch, all things Cardinals and Blues at 10:30. At 11:30, Dick Zitzman on the Bob Gibson saga. Dick was the very first person to come up with this idea about athletes starting businesses to sign their memorabilia after their careers are done. And, you know, of course, he started Stan the Man, Inc. He later has worked with Red Shandings, Lou Brock, Bob Gibson. He's a tremendous businessman, but most importantly, he's really a good friend to these guys. And Dick was one of the first person to get the news on Saturday night that Bob Gibson is battling pancreatic cancer. We'll get into that a little bit later, but our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, which is now Worldwide Technology Raceway. Let's begin with lap one. There were a lot of Adam Wainwright skeptics at the beginning of the season, and they were correct in questioning that this man could turn it around. Absolutely. He had an ERA of under four. He hasn't had an ERA of under 4.4 since he was 33 years old. And at age 37, well, that's not exactly where pitchers make comebacks, especially after 2,000 innings and a multitude of injuries. Well, guess who has an ERA of under four now? Yes, he's under four now. Guess who's been the number two starter on the team? Yes, the man on the mound yesterday.
And tried to lean in and get hit there. Instead, he takes a call. Third strike. The 2-2. He got him.
Swing and a miss. Fastball, and he threw it by him. Swing and a miss. Threw it by him.
As is Wainwright's next pitch. It's a strike three call, and see you later.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Big strikeout there.
I've been feeling great. My arm's feeling good. My stuff is clicking where I want it to be. And I told him, hey, yeah, I could pitch today. There's no question about it. I've pitched with way worse, but, you know, I really want to pitch well for this team. And I knew we were all fresh coming after the break. I knew Ponce was ready. They had an idea because the day before was the day I woke up with the issue. So I knew it wasn't serious, and I knew if we waited a couple of days, listened to the training staff, that we were going to be in real good shape. So it was kind of a no-brainer.
Adam's a high expectation, just like our club. You know, he's exactly what we want, in that we're always striving for more. So if we're, you know, doing well, we want to be even better, you know, and Adam's a great representation of that. And that's his lion heart and his warrior mentality. You know, he's pitched well, but it's not good enough. You know, he wants to be better, and he wants to be, and is elite. So that's his bar, and that's our bar as well.
went 7, walked 1, struck out 7, allowed 4 hits. And he's having this effective season with a much different style than we see around Major League Baseball. He's doing it with, like, guts and guile. He touched 92 yesterday, so it's not like he can't get there, but still 92 is not a high number in the major leagues for a fastball. But he's doing it in what has to be the percentage, the highest percentage of non-fastballs of any starter in the league. 36% of his pitches were non-fastballs yesterday. 35 of his 97 pitches with a curveball. I mean, I'd have a tough time thinking that any starting pitcher is throwing a curveball a third of the time. You know, if he wants to do this with another one of these incentive-laden contracts, Cardinals should consider it. You know, a $2 million base, which is likely going to get to $10 million this season because he's going to meet all the incentives. He told the commissioner, told the group yesterday that he just put down some incentive things on a napkin, then changed it a little bit after that, and Cardinals agreed. And it's never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing to have Waino in your clubhouse. If you pencil him in as a 4-5 guy with a low base, high incentives, and he achieves next season what he's doing this season, why not? Thoughts on Adam Wainwright? Come on aboard. All right, lap two. One guy who won't be here next season, Michael Wacha. Barring anything shocking, Wacha is not going to be retained. Could be moved at the trading deadline, too. Really nice fella who had a breathtaking beginning to a career is now out of the rotation. And Daniel Ponce de Leon is in. What a novel thought to actually have a guy in your starting rotation who has the lowest ERA on the team and who is a natural starter to actually be in the rotation. Isn't that crazy? What a novel thought. Mike Schilt knows every night it's not about keeping veterans happy. Maybe he's going to have to realize that with his lineup too. He's just got to put his best 8 or 9 on the field at all times. He can't worry about feelings. He can't worry about contracts. He can't worry about anything. Just play your best. And Daniel Ponce de Leon right now gives him a better chance to win a game than Michael Wacha. All right, lap three. Now, with that said, I want to come out with this. I think the Wacha start in the NLDS against the Pirates is one of the greatest pitching performances I've seen in person. Here's my Mount Rushmore of the best Cardinal pitching performances that I've seen in person. Gibson, 1968, Game 1, World Series against the Tigers. Dad took me out of first grade, Our Lady of the Pillar. Still remember Willie Horton wailing on strikeout number 17. Game 5, 2011, Chris Carpenter against the Phillies, out-dueling Roy Halladay in a 1-0 game. Game 4, the Wacha against the Pirates in the NLDS when he flirted with a no-hitter and was just invincible. Then here's one that may not make your list, but it made mine. This is games I've seen in person. Game 3, 2006, Jeff Suppan against the Mets. 96 pitches, 69 strikes, and he allowed 4 base runners. And as we know, not exactly an overpowering pitcher. He kind of did it like Waino did it yesterday. So how about your best pitching performances that you've ever seen in person? Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. And we also have the text line at 855-282-8255. Plowsy, you had a thought under your breath, which was a really good one.
I thought Shelby Miller had the game, but I think it was ranked the first or second best pitching performance at the time to where it was a one hit. Was it the first 16 strikeout game?
Was it the first hitter?
The first batter reached, and they were retired the next 27.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that was in Busch Stadium as well.
Yeah, I wasn't at the game. Was that a Saturday night? I think it was.
I mean, it was a regular season game. Certainly, you bring up a lot of the memorable postseason game, but that one, he was lights out, and he was young at the time. Still thought there was promise there for a future. So,
just for the heck of it, while we're on the Shelby Miller topic, check what his statistics are.
He's a Brewer now.
Yeah.
It's minor league deal with...
Really?
Yes. Was not... Obviously, it's a minor league deal, not having a good year in Texas. 1-3, 8.6 ERA before he was released.
1-3, 8.6 ERA.
8.6 or 8.59, rounding up. But we'll see if he makes an appearance with Milwaukee. Between now and the end of the season.
I mean, what team was he with? The Braves, when he had an amazing quality start, couldn't get the run support.
And then Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad beat.
He had a Tommy John, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Boy, how about he and Trevor Rosenthal? And think about what their futures look like at one time. That's incredible.
Well, even you talk about when Joe Kelly, Carlos Martinez, remember they had the back and forth in spring training. Who could get that last start? I do believe it was against those
two.
Those two had similar promising, you know, positions, you know, two, you know, 1-2 in the rotation.
And Joe Kelly's had a career, though.
No, and they both have a decent career. Certainly you expected more out of Carlos, but I remember at the time those were the two it-name guys in the Carlos farm system.
I think Joe Kelly finished out the game last night.
He did.
Yeah, against Boston.
He got paid, too.
He did. What's amazing how quick. I don't know anybody more so that's had a dramatic fall from grace, though, than Alan Craig. Can you think of anybody?
I mean, it's injury-laden, too. It wasn't just losing. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is having one of, I mean,
yeah, but
he's had that track record. He didn't just fall off. But right now, he is. I mean, it's embarrassing watching him at the plate right now.
But, I mean, for Alan Craig to get 96 or 97 RBIs, and I think he finished in the top 10 in the MVP balloting, to never be heard from again is just the craziest thing ever. I think it was that Liz Frank injury that maybe started the whole downfall.
I think it was misdiagnosed at first, and he probably should not have appeared in the World Series.
He had that play at third base. Yeah.
That was.
And then I think it just messed with his mechanics at the plate, and that's where it all went downhill.
Wow. All right, lap three. Bob Gibson, pancreatic cancer. 84 years old, the greatest Cardo pitcher of all time, and you could make a strong case for the greatest clutch pitcher of all time. Look at his World Series statistics. Look what he did in 64. Look what he did in 67. And in 68, even though he didn't finish off Game 7, he had two great starts. I love the optimism of his friends and the people that know him talking about how he's a fighter. Adam Wainwright has always admired Bob Gibson.
So Jennifer Langosh's article, she said cancer picked the wrong guy to pick a fight with, and that's what I think too. I mean, he's such a tough dude, you know. He is the toughest man I know, and besides Yachty might be tougher. I don't know. It's a tie. But we're all praying for Mr. Gibson. You know, he's so respected around here. He's maybe one of the greatest pitchers of all time. He's a guy we always try to look up to and continue to carry on the Cardinal tradition here because of guys like him, and we wish him the best.
Pancreatic cancer, though, seems to be the cancer that always wins. I looked it up last night, a 7% survival rate after 5 years. It got my best friend, John Phelan, 8 years ago. One day we're hitting golf balls, then a few months later he goes to work and his friends say, "You look a little yellow." Goes to the hospital, gets diagnosed, and he passed away about a year later. I can remember doing this show, and Martin was actually with me that day. We were in Webster Groves, and John's sister called me during the opening monologue, and I called her during the commercial break, and she said he had passed away. Now, there are examples of people who beat it. I was at the Gatesworth last night, and Gil Gans, who sits at my mom's table, is now 90 years old. 18 years ago, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And his doctors told him, "You got about 3 months here. Get your things organized. Get your will set up because this thing is brutal." He had a brother-in-law who was a Christian minister. And he said, "Look, if you do what I tell you to do and read with me every night and pray with me every night, and do everything I ask, we're going to beat this thing." And there he was last night at age 90, 18 years later, and doing fine. It's an amazing story. He's been asked to, he's spoken at a bunch of churches. He He was actually, you know, a member of the Jewish faith. He became a Christian because of it. It's an amazing story. So, Bob Gibson, we need one of these amazing stories for the greatest Cardinal pitcher of all time.
Alex Trebek has had a positive prognosis since his pancreatic cancer diagnosis. Right. He was stage four, and they're saying he's in near remission now.
Boy.
So.
It's unbelievable. All right, lap four. Tennis. I know we don't discuss it much, but yesterday was the longest singles final at Wimbledon of all time. 4 hours, 56 minutes, and a 25-game final. Here's how it ended with Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer.
Novak Djokovic, an historic five-set fight for a fifth Wimbledon title.
So you know what's really interesting to me is a long time ago, probably even before Brian and Plowsy's time, top tennis players transcended tennis and were mainstream sports stars. Everybody knew who John McEnroe was. Everybody knew Jimmy Connors and Bjorn Borg and Boris Becker. And a little later, everybody knew Andre Agassi. And now, a guy by the name of Novak Djokovic could finish his career as the greatest tennis player of all time. He's 32 now with 16 majors. Federer is 37 with 20 majors. You got to believe that, although as great as Federer is, that he may not win many more. And Djokovic at 32 has got a chance to win quite a few more. Rafael Nadal has 18. But if Djokovic stays healthy, he could actually go down as the greatest champion of them all. And I'm really not sure how many people like in St. Anne or Festus or Crevecoeur know that name, Novak Djokovic. What do you think? I mean, in terms of being like famous. And he could be the greatest of all time. Are you a tennis guy?
Oh, my mom is huge. I watched it when I was a kid. Loved Agassi. Loved Sampras. And you think about Nadal had that more of a cachet because, you know, that look, that appeal that he has. He dominates on clay. I feel like Djokovic kind of in the background for the average tennis fan. But certainly, I mean, you look at the career winnings and the majors and, you know, being consistently ranked number one. It seems like all three of those guys take turns to have that legacy. Nadal, when he was young, started dominating. Federer had that long stretch. And Djokovic comes out of nowhere, so.
I mean, just if Federer would have won, obviously he was ever so close to winning, he would have been at 21 and Djokovic would have been at 15. But now it's like a two-championship swing, and now it's 20 and 16 with one guy 5 years younger. That's interesting.
It's hard to compare. I didn't watch tennis in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with, you know, some of those guys that were dominant back then. I wasn't for sure how tennis had changed. They certainly seem more athletic on the men's and women's side. Both of them look way more athletic.
Well, I think they hit it harder, but I don't know if anybody had McEnroe's touch.
And the technology, similar to golf, the rackets nowadays, just a lot of give. I mean, I understand the technology and the advancements that could change it as well, but it's hard for me to see anybody playing better than that trio in this era.
All right, lap five. So yesterday, we were watching a golf tournament in the area, watching one of our kids play. And on the way home, we were in Alton, and we had our very first experience with Fast Eddie's. And, man, I can see why this place does so well. First time I've ever been there.
Oh, you get the Big Elwood?
I did. The food is just so good.
That's where it's at, man.
The shrimp, fresh, big, and cheap, 39 cents per shrimp. Cheeseburger was just insane. And the Big Elwood on a stick.
It's unreal.
It really is. It's not just... It's a great piece of sirloin steak that's been
seasoning.
Marinated and seasoned up to perfection.
It's good. It's really good.
And the prices really are insane. Now, I didn't know this at all. They don't take Visa. It's only cash.
They haven't been there in a couple of years. I think that, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, they don't want to get charged that, you know, 1% or whatever it is. Good for them. I'm sure there's an ATM close by there, Frank.
You know what? On the way out, we realized it. If I would have known on the way in, I would have ordered like 65 more shrimp. It was so good.
I get it to go. I would whenever I get there. And
well, you can't get it to go.
Or I just kind of, you know, put it in the
person. I think he just holds it sounds like. Not so much a to-go box.
Yeah, yeah. Just walk out with it when you're done with your beer and you got an Elwood to go.
There are more threatening signs about, like, taking food out and no carryouts, and you got to be 21. And they got a lot of rules over there, but I can see why it thrives. I mean, cold beer is only going to go so far. You got to have great food to have that kind of crowd. Yeah. And they had just great
food. Finger foods, too. That's where it's at.
Fortunately, we had just enough money to handle the tip. And I remember we had $1 left. And I said to Monique, you mind if I get two more shrimp? I could. I was going to come away with 23 cents.
With tax included, we got, we get three.
Yeah, unbelievable. But what a cool place. Yeah. All right, lap six, stream of consciousness. Hey, I like the fact that Ryan Leaf just got hired by ESPN to be an analyst. Nobody's suffered more or been humiliated more in his athletic career, and I know he brought it on himself, but it's nice to see a guy get another shot. Had the Joyas hot salami this weekend. That was out of sight. Best ever. Veal chop marsala at Kimal's. My favorite thing on the menu. Have the veal chop marsala. Amazed at the lines at Ted Drew's, and more amazed that it moves so fast. I mean, let's face it. When you walk up there and you see a 10 deep, you think, oh, my goodness, I don't want to wait for this. And then all of a sudden you're standing and you just moves. What a great operation that is. And there can't be anything better than the apple pie concrete. Boy, is that good. Oh, there is one thing better, and that's Handmaid's Tale, Season 3, Episode 8.
I'm all
caught
up. I do believe we're coming to Episode 8. I don't want to be one behind.
Seven? No, maybe it's 7.
I think we've done 7. 8 will be Wednesday.
Yeah.
Whenever it is.
Oh, my goodness. Can you think of a more detestable character than Aunt Lydia?
And it's tough because you go back to her backstory and she seems so sweet, which makes me hate her even more because she realizes the struggles of a single mom. And yet they kind of Handmaid's Tale, they resent, you know, how kids are treated in some households. So now some are, you know.
Were you a little grossed out when they had the makeout scene with her, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it doesn't matter how you doll up, if you're a teacher or if you're in a smock.
It's Aunt Lydia. Oh, gosh.
I did like when she gets stabbed in the back, though. What was that? The season finale episode or season 2 finale?
Yeah,
that was,
spoiler alert, Plowsy.
Look, I mean, I can't stop. It's amazing. So good, if you're not involved yet, get in it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's $5.99 a month, Hulu, I think.
Yeah, or you could, you know, use your girlfriend's mom's. You know, either one. It's
not that you would do that, but yeah. All right, let's take a short time out. Before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino. They are our title sponsor. If you're looking for a place for the weekend, we recommend Hollywood Casino. And be sure when you pull in, you look to the right and you see that incredible hockey facility. Hollywood Casino was the company that stepped up and really did a favor for the city of St. Louis to make it happen on their grounds. It's spectacular. So is 99 Hops House. So is the All-You-Can-Eat Buffet. And so is Final Cut Steakhouse. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.